The gospel lesson for today is the lectionary passage for the gospel from John, reading from the 10th chapter, the first 10 verses. Listen for the word of God. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit.
The one who enters by the gate
is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Now Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. For the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, draw near to us. Provide for us your word, your grace, your spirit, that we may be fed, that we may be led forward, that we may be nurtured in the life of faith this day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. For a moment, think of the ways that you use the internet today. Now, whether it's with a home computer or a laptop or a smartphone or a tablet, many of us use the internet to check our email, to order things online, to check out our credit card balances, to pay our bills, to maybe request a book from the library, and on and on. Now, there's one screen that I seldom like to see when I'm using the internet, and that's the screen that says, "Please enter your username and password." If I don't visit a particular site very often, I see that screen and I groan because the next question is, all right, what is my password? And if you're like me, you probably only have a couple passwords that you use over and over again through the various sites. But then you talk to yourself and you say, all right, well, which password is for this site? And is this the six-letter one or the eight-letter one? Does this have the number in it or the capitalization? And where's that scrap of paper that I wrote them all down on that I keep taped next to my computer? I'm sure some of you have had that conversation with yourself. There was a recent internet virus called Heartbleed that caused most of us, or many of us, to change some of our passwords. And it likely caused us to wish that there was some other way to use our computers and use the internet that didn't rely on that technology. Well, there are a lot of technology companies that spend a lot of energy thinking about this same thing. And one of the solutions they've been coming up with lately involves biometrics. Now, biometrics take part of your human physiology and use that as your password. So maybe it's your fingerprint, maybe it's a scan of your retina, or in many cases, maybe it's your voice. The technology of voice recognition has actually become quite advanced of late. And so some computers are exploring having a verbal password to access all of your internet accounts. Now, it would be a combination of a phrase, but a phrase that's spoken by only you that unlocks the computer. It seems like a good idea, although you still have to remember the phrase, and you have to pray you don't get laryngitis. But overall, it may be a better system than what we currently have in place. Now, the version of computer biometrics is built around a concept that's actually very old. We've long known that animals recognize one another by their voices. Calves in a huge herd of cattle can find their mother by hearing her plaintive moo, and sheep and goats can locate their wandering babies even amongst the cacophony of bleats and baas out there in the pasture. This general type of concept, as illustrated also by Sarah, is something that's well known, and it was well known by Jesus. And that's why he took the time to point to that quality to describe the special relationship between God, the shepherd, and us, the sheep. Christ said, "The sheep know the shepherd's voice, the one who calls them by name, the one whom they will follow to be led to safety and to good pasture." It was such a familiar image that it was at the heart of the 23rd Psalm we heard read, where the Lord is my shepherd. And for Jesus' community, it was also an important part of their own history. The Jewish prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34 spends a long time explaining about good and bad shepherds. The false shepherds are those ones who lead people astray, or even worse, ignore them as they only care for their own needs. Their bad example would cause the sheep to wander away and fall prey to evil and dangerous forces in the world. While the good shepherds, well, they were the ones whose voices could be trusted, who would lead the sheep to pasture and safety. Now, back to the computers. For biometrics to work, your computer has to be programmed to recognize your voice. So you would, into the little microphone, say your password several times in a row. And the computer then would both identify the words and your voice print, the unique qualities of your speaking voice. At that point, the computer is programmed to hear and to respond only to your voice. The good news of the gospel is that it reminds us that we are each programmed ourselves to know God's voice. That there's a built-in capacity within us for each of us to respond to God through the ways of the Holy Spirit. What that means is that faith is not some alien concept. It's not a foreign idea that has no connection to who we are in our daily life, in our historical realities. No. All of us, and frankly, all people, have the capacity to be in relationship with God, the capacity to hear Christ's voice. There's a Catholic theologian named Teilhard de Chardin, and he once said this: "We are primarily spiritual beings having a human experience, not human beings having an occasional spiritual experience." For all of our fixation on human physiology and biology, we need to remember that we are body and soul inherently, and that we are programmed to recognize the voice of our loving God and of Christ, the Good Shepherd. Now, why is that important to remember? Well, think again about those computer biometrics. No matter what type of fancy technology we devise to protect our computer information, we know that someone, somewhere out there, will try and find a way to get around it, right? No password is ever 100% safe. In this world, there is light and darkness. There is good and evil. There are innocent computer screens that require our login information and our credit card data, just as there are diabolical imitation screens that only want that same information to steal it and to corrupt it. So we need to recognize at the core of our being, we are programmed to recognize the voice of a loving Lord who calls us by name, who knows us, and who goes to great lengths to open God's self to us. even the links of a Good Friday cross, to heal our brokenness through Christ, to lead us into true life. Because it is also true that there are thieves and bandits all around us, and sometimes within us, who seek to lead us astray or into danger. That's why in the Lord's Prayer we say, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Now, there are folks that, if they had equal say in this little dialogue, would argue back and say that they don't believe we're truly spiritual beings programmed to respond to the call of Christ. The nature of philosophical atheism reverses Chardin's equation and insists, no, we are only human beings who occasionally talk or think they're having spiritual experiences. And those same voices would ask us to trust in the power of human rationality, human reason alone, as if our rational minds can sort out every problem that confronts us in the world, right from wrong, good from evil, justice from injustice. At the moment, I'm reading Ron Stone's excellent book about Reinhold Niebuhr, who many of you remember was an important Protestant theologian active during the time of the two world wars and after. Now, during that stage in American history, the world struggled to decide how should they respond to Hitler's Nazism. And some people argued, well, everything will just work out fine if we just act rationally and reasonably. But Niebuhr argued back that human beings are not simply logical creatures. It's not because we don't know logic, but it's because we are all capable of standing outside the system of logic and thus make logic the servant of our own instincts. Niebuhr said, "Man is more than reason, and that's why our actions are usually less than reasonable." And it's true. We are more than flesh and blood. We are guided by instincts and impulses that move us beyond logic and reason, which means at times we are unreasonable and undependable and sometimes, sadly, unworthy. So, if we are programmed to hear the voice of God, it's for the simple reason that we need to hear the voice of God. If we have this innate spiritual capacity to trust something deeper than reason itself, and certainly something stronger than imperfect human logic, it's because we need to trust something deeper than logic and reason. We are sheep who need a shepherd. Jesus may have used a common figure of speech to get this idea across, but he touched on something quite profound. And it's something that merits our daily reflection. We are made to hear Christ's voice because we need that voice to guide us amid the cacophony of noise and distractions of moral bandits all around us. And that's why we gather together in church. We come together to sit and to worship and to commune and have fellowship and to serve others amidst a group of people who have nothing in common with us except this shared need to hear Christ's voice. It's the same reason why we invite others to join us for these services of worship, because we all share this need, and we will only find what we most deeply seek in life when we gather in community around the Good Shepherd. Richard Rohr has argued that the church has put far too much effort into arguing about metaphysics, what is reality, and put far too little emphasis on epistemology, which is the philosophical word for, all right, how did we come to know what reality is? Rohr says that far too often, reality for us simply comes from our own experiences, what our small minds grapple with and grab onto and determine, well, that's what life is like. And therefore, that's what God is like. And therefore, that's what faith is like. But reality is always much more than our limited experiences and much more than our limited imagination. And faith recognizes that our limited experiences and partial answers will always be incomplete. And so we need to ask, how is it we come to know what we know? Pope Francis, who's winning gold stars from Protestants and Catholics at the moment, he recently said that anyone that says, quote, that they're touched with a total certainty about God, and yet they don't also have within them a certain margin of uncertainty, that that's not actually good. If one has the answers to all the questions, then that is proof that God is not with them. It means they're a false prophet, using religion for themselves. The great leaders of the people of God, like Moses, have always left room for doubt. And Francis concludes, you must leave room for the Lord, not for your certainties. We must be humble. Now, I like that phrase. You must leave room for the Lord. You must remember each day that Christ is calling us by name. Remember that we are programmed to hear that voice, which is a voice recognition biometric built into our spirits as an expression of God's grace and mercy. But even more so, remember that we need to hear that voice, lest we go astray because of thieves and bandits without and pride and prejudice within. Because when we leave room for the Lord, when we listen and follow God, we come to understand what reality truly is. And it's in that humble, faithful understanding, together with one another in the Christ Jesus, that we're home, that we have life. And we have life abundantly. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Living and gracious God, be with us this day and always, in spirit and in truth. Boldly call to us, and be near even as we hesitantly respond. Elevate our words and deeds by your grace, until all are healed and made well. On this day, Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of this church, dedicated in 1935. We give thanks for the leadership of the church, not only here but throughout the world, the women and men, the elders and deacons, the disciples and servants who bring forth their best offerings to you each week. We thank you for the hymnal, Glory to God. And for the gift of music that stirs our hearts, that instructs our minds, that strengthens our spirits and sets us in motion to love and to serve you and Christ in our neighbor. We thank you for old songs that connect us with saints and traditions from past. We thank you for new songs that create a legacy for future generations. We thank you for songs from our culture that express our heritage in familiar melodies and rhythms, and for songs from other cultures that open us to the variety of ways in which your people, your children, offer praise around your world. On this day, Lord, we pray for those with special needs in our congregation, remembering Mitchell, Cecil, Andrea's father, Norma, Kathy, Patrick, Wendy, Diane's mother, Gloria's father, Pat's friends. We pray for all who mourn this day, continue to remember and lift up Ruth Donaldson, Sheila Freeman Powell, the family of Donna Gruber. And we celebrate the gift of new life, praying for Andrew and Amina and their son Sebastian, and Nico and Emily and their son Kai. Gracious and living God, on this day we give thanks for all women, for those that have served in varieties of ways to nurture us in the ways of life, and for all who have served in that maternal role. Continue to use us as ambassadors of hope, as teachers of what is wise, as models of humility and grace, that our family of faith, as the family of the world, might truly be one in you. Hear us now as we offer the prayer taught to us by our Savior Jesus Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.